Welcome to the podcast, Winning Through Culture, where we're helping entrepreneurs stay impactful and relevant. I'm your host, Tim Flanagan.
We are here today with Marcus Watson. Marcus is someone that recently joined our organization in a sales leadership capacity. He's been with us now a year. And we are going to be talking today about not only his journey into becoming a financial advisor and his passion for being a sales leader in the financial services industry, but we're also going to talk about what he finds important about a culture and about an organization that can help him win at life and in business. So, Marcus, welcome.
Hey, Tim. Thanks for the invite today, and looking forward to being a part of this.
Wow. We're looking forward to spending some time together with you today. So, if you would, Marcus, share a little bit about your story, you know, who you are, and just tell us a little bit about who you are and how you came to be a financial advisor.
Well, and I think that's, you used the word earlier, journey. I think that's something that I always ask people that I come across is, you know, share with me about your journey, because I think the journey tells a lot more about someone than, you know, what you see on the resume. So I actually thought I was going to do sports radio and multimedia.
You have the voice for it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I got the face for radio, right?
I said the voice.
But that's what I thought I was going to do out of college. And, you know, where did you get from that point to where I am now is part of, you know, been in the financial services industry 5 years. There's a journey and a story to that. You know, when I graduated school, I always had the passion and always the higher calling of wanting to serve a mission. That was something that was very instilled in me early on. You know, I had a little bit of a unique story than most kids growing.
If you're comfortable sharing that with us, I think it'd be helpful from a perspective.
So at the age of 2, I was diagnosed with acute lymphoblastic leukemia, the most common form of childhood cancer. So when you have that interaction or that happen in your life, that is a different starting point than most kids. It's a different starting point than my kids, and thankfully. But I was treated at St. Jude Children's Research Hospital for 3 years. In February 10, 1992, went into full remission. You know, knock on wood, I haven't had any setbacks since. So it's been 28 years cancer free. But
congratulations.
Yeah, it's a part of my life that not a lot of folks know about, especially here in Charlotte. But it's that I don't get overly worked up about things because I've seen the other side of the coin.
Yeah,
and
gives you perspective.
It does. Things can be a lot worse.
Yeah,
things can be a lot worse, and so that is kind of where my passion for serving a mission came from. And so I would help with fundraisers and those type of things locally in the Peoria area. And as I grew up, so you always had that sense of service above self. And I wanted to continue that passion and journey. Now, on the other side of the fence, my dad was a 25-year financial advisor. He started his career in the management ranks with Lincoln Financial. So I grew up in a house with a financial advisor, but he never sort of pushed me into the family business per se. He sort of let me forge my own path. When I graduated school, like I said, I thought I was going to be a multimedia sports marketing commentator. I was offered an internship for the Hawkeye Radio Network coming out of school until I figured out what that was going to entail. And what radio guys, you know, the longevity of radio guys and upward mobility and upward track and, you know, serving a mission didn't kind of align with what I was trying to get accomplished. So I was able to go to St. Jude Children's Research Hospital in Memphis. I graduated from school in 2010 and loaded up and moved to Memphis, Tennessee. Didn't know a person outside of the few folks that I knew that worked at the hospital down there. And forged a new life. And I was working on their sports marketing platforms, putting my communications degree to good use, working on their PR marketing team, helping just continue to increase the awareness around the mission that St. Jude Children's Hospital provides of, you know, treating, you know, patients at no cost to families and, you know, providing the world's best care when it comes to, you know, cancer and childhood diseases that are, you know, catastrophic.
Yeah, no, it's a fantastic organization.
And then I would say the biggest venture or where the crossroads kind of happen is where, you know, I always say your why is where your passion and your purpose intersect.
Mm-hmm.
And I had that opportunity. So my wife and I found out we were expecting our first child. And my dad got diagnosed with stage 4 melanoma. So at that point, I had a decision to make, you know, what is going to be my legacy, you know, what is going to help him, you know, continue to serve his clients and continue to serve those folks, or is this the time where I continue down the nonprofit path? And did a lot of soul searching, a lot of praying, but where I felt called to do was to continue to serve a mission, but from a different perspective.
Yeah,
and kind of serve that financial mission. And I think that's one of the things that every sort of person we run across has some sort of financial disease. And that was kind of my next calling, where I felt that I could help my dad transition his practice. This was a great opportunity to venture into the business and kind of create a brand of my own, with not completely starting from scratch, but, you know, that was a very naive thought at that point, because I had no idea what I was doing.
No idea what you were getting yourself into.
Yeah, exactly. And I said, you know, there's two things I'm really good at is talking for a living and making sure that I'm serving a mission and doing what's right for people that mm-hmm. I interact with and come in contact with, whether it's through helping our community or, you know, advancing, you know, missions throughout the world that are benefiting and leaving the world a better place than when we found them.
So it sounds like your mission at that point, Marcus, became a combination of helping your father help his clients. You want to share a little bit more about that?
Yeah.
Aspect of your journey?
It was something that it was forced upon, but it's not forced upon from a perspective of, I thought I had a lot more time. So my dad ended up passing away in December of 15. And he did get to meet his granddaughter. But, you know, that was one of those things that we thought we had more time. You know, you never know when, you know, when time is gonna be up. And I was sort of left to pick up the pieces, but from a positive perspective of, hey, making sure that I'm doing the right thing for the folks that are mm-hmm. involved. And but then it really gave me that sense of drive, because now I had a wife and a mortgage and a daycare bill and
responsibilities.
And I said, if I'm going to do this now, I got to do it at 100%. And that's something that was instilled for me by my father and my mother, is if you commit to something, you're going to do it. You're going to
do
it all in, and there's no quitting, mm-hmm. Because you need to see things through. And I think that, but being able to do that in the culture of, you know, I walked into a firm that had experienced advisors that were part of it. I had, you know, great partners and great leadership that, you know, supported me in that effort. They knew the entire story, and it was an opportunity to, I went from feeling like I was feeling alone to now I felt supported. So kind of where that passion and that purpose intersected, mm-hmm. I did feel the support from a culture perspective of, you know, if you're committed to doing this, we're going to show you how to do it. And I think that made the transition a lot easier.
That's fantastic. So our paths crossed about a year ago, and as part of your journey, share with me, if you would, what led to you deciding to make a decision to go in a different direction relative to the firm that you decided to align yourself with, our organization, and then ultimately what led you to believe that this was the right place for you?
Well, I think your podcast is entitled very appropriately, Winning Through Culture. And that was one of the biggest things that jumped off the table at me, because, you know, I looked at a lot of different organizations, and the folks that were in my sphere of helping me make that decision encouraged me to take a look and find the area that does align with your passion and your purpose. Mm-hmm. But I think the metrics that I really looked for, and where I sort of define leadership and culture, is kind of, so if you draw a circle, you're in the center of it. That passion and purpose have aligned, you're in the center of it. And what are the tangible things that around you that you need in order to have a culture where you're successful? And for me, it was direction, alignment, and commitment. And I'll take those a step further. You know, from a commitment, it's a commitment to a process. You know, it's not a wavering thing. You know, this is how we do things. We're very, you know, here, you're very transparent, you and your team, you know, during that process of making that decision. This is how we do things. Mm-hmm. This is how we align the resources around you. And from a, you know, direction perspective, this is our mission of where we're going, and this is the mission of where we are taking our firm over the next 10 to 15 years. And having that, all three of those components around someone that this is exactly what I want to do. You know, I always ask people, if you won $1 million, would you still be doing what you're doing today?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you won the lottery and money was no issue, are you still doing the career and the work
yeah.
that would you go do something else? And I think for me, it's no. I, you know, for other people that I've come across in life, is like, yeah, I'd be done working. I, you know, I'd do something else. But for me, I knew I was in the right career and the right opportunity, and it was looking for the culture. But I think also the success is, you know, you see not only in the financial world, but you see, you know, sports, for example. Look at even those environments where there is success is part of the granular expectation mm-hmm. of the culture of this is how we do it, this is why we do it, and this is the way we do it, and we've also had success doing it.
Yep.
And I could see that from where I wanted to take my career, my practice, you know, being in, you know, fortunately, unfortunately, the way you look at it, you know, I'm going to be around this industry for a lot longer than, you know, some of my peers around here. So I had to make the long-term decision mm-hmm. of where was going to be the best opportunity to get to where I wanted to go. And what helped me sort of make that decision is I could see that there was people that fell out of your management team ranks or the Tim Flanagan coaching tree, for lack of a better term, that have gotten to where I wanted to be, or at least that where I thought I wanted to be. Now the culture is so good here, is, you know, it's going to be hard for me to pry away from this place. But that's what was a big part of making the decision. But I think the tangible things of how you guys do culture is completely different than a lot of the ways other, not only just agencies inside our world, but outside our world in the nonprofit, the business world, culture is key, especially for, I would say, smaller organizations too. You know, when I've worked at a lot of different sizes, mm-hmm. is, you know, the culture becomes even more important the smaller the organization is, because you have to be so protective of it.
Yes, you do. And you've done a fantastic job. Everybody on the team's talked about this over the last few months, about coming in and assimilating very quickly, but also becoming what Amanda calls a culture champion for our organization. And so thank you very much for that. You know, talk a little bit, Marcus, if you would, about, as you said, you've got the intersection of your purpose and passion. You know, what kind of mark are you looking to make professionally here in the next year, 2 years, and how do you feel you're positioned to do that?
Well, I think first it starts with my why statement. Is my job is to make a difference in the lives of the advisors and the clients that we interface with, and we do it through a service in the above self mentality. As a Rotarian, you know, that's always at the heart of what serving that person, serving that mission. But we have a responsibility of using our talents and resources to the betterment of leaving people in a better spot than when we found them, whether mm-hmm. it's through our community, through some of our initiatives across the world. But, you know, I believe I was left here for a reason, and continuing that thought is we got to try to get 1% better each day, but with the grand scheme of things in mind of, you know, leaving, we have the duty to kind of leave this world in a better way than when we found it.
Yeah.
And I would say that would be, you know, what does success look like for us is continuing to invite people into this culture mm-hmm. because it's different. It's something different. And, you know, I haven't been here long enough to put my finger on the exact marker. There's a lot of different things. And a lot of it, what I talked about is, you know, the different ways that we align and in the direction and the commitment to what we're doing as a firm. And that allows me, as someone who is responsible for inviting good people into our culture, and then it becomes now we get to be a little bit more selective. Is this the right person to fit our culture? Because I also have a responsibility to kind of protect that as well. And so I would say from a 2 to 3 year perspective is my role is to, I always say this with my advisors, we're going to save the ones we can save.
Mm-hmm.
And some will go willingly, but some it's now, it's not right now, but our job is to help the people that want to be helped.
Yes. And that is not everyone.
Yeah.
But there are plenty of people that do need our help, our guidance, our wisdom and experience out there. And I appreciate your passion on showing up every day, bringing that to the dance. A curious question. I know you're a student of life and business. Anything you're reading or listening to podcasts now-wise you want to share?
No, I would say I spent a lot of time studying coaches.
Talk about that for a moment.
So, like, you know, this may not be popular for the UNC fans, but I follow a lot of the work of Mike Krzyzewski. I think he's, you know, again, Nick Saban, Mike Krzyzewski, John Wooden, you know, some of those folks that have been successful at a high level for mm-hmm. an extended period.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I think one of the things that I always, it sticks with me is there's a quote from Coach K that if what you did yesterday still looks big in your eyes, you haven't done much today. And so that's kind of that consistent message that he preaches throughout his program of culture is something that we do every day. Something is something that has to be addressed every day. And he doesn't do it not only himself or his assistant coaches, but he also has an expectation on, you know, his seniors, his leaders in the program to also be a part of building that culture and reminding people this is the way we do it. You know, everyone's sort of heard that story from John Wooden of, you know, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Bill Walton, you know, the guys that played for him. You know, the first thing he sat down and made everyone do was put your socks on.
Put on your socks and tie your shoes.
Yeah.
Every year.
Every year. And he would go through that. And you're working with the best talent, you know, college basketball has to offer in those eras. But it was a commitment of this is the way we do things. It was the direction of this is why we do it, and alignment of if you want to be part of our culture and our program and you want to have the privilege to play for UCLA, this is the barrier entry.
Yep. Yeah.
And being confident enough, and I think that's the biggest thing for leaders nowadays is being confident to put that hard line in the sand of saying that this is our expectations and we're not going to sacrifice, whether it's short-term or long-term gains, to sacrifice that culture.
Yeah.
And that mentality. And I think that would be there's a lot of different nuggets that, yeah. And I was a college basketball player, so I seemed to align a little bit more with watching those cultures.
Part of your passion.
Part of your passion, yeah. And I think that was the, you know, seeing quotes like that of, you know, there was a column that I think Kyle Porter from CBS did on Coach K a few years ago about how he dictates culture in his program is we don't take a day off from it. And that's a different approach that I don't think a lot of organizations, companies worldwide, it's very easy to get caught up with focusing on the bottom dollar or the, you know, the results, but those are the lead measures mm-hmm. to focus to. What, you know, how many invites are you inviting people to be a part of that culture? You know, whether you're focusing on a recruiting or, you know, how many lives and how many people are we impacting? If those are your lead measures around culture and business, then the success metrics will follow on the backside.
Talk before we wrap up here, Marcus, talk a little bit about how being a part of a winning culture has impacted you, you know, personally in your life outside of work.
It has been a great, it has been great from a balance perspective. You know, like I said, you know, we have two children. I got a 5 and a 2-year-old, and you know, and now a sheep-a-doodle puppy, which was unexpected. But I always tease because my wife is also in a very demanding job. She's in the healthcare industry, so we live and prescribe to the lifestyle of organized chaos. Yeah. And that'll probably be the title of the book, you know, when this is all said and done. But having that comfortability and balance of being able to know that, hey, if there's something that does, you know, family's first. And mm-hmm. that's what's something I think also your guys' culture and our firm's culture. Family comes first, you know, God, family, and then business. Mm-hmm. And those, there's never anything out of order there. And having that confidence that, hey, if they're, you know, I got to work from home one day, or, hey, you know, school's getting ready to shut down, or, you know, the little one's got an ear infection, you know, the life happens.
Yep.
And no one's immune to it. And especially as, you know, the young professional market, as they can, you know, I'm one of those. And there's always going to be challenges outside of our world and our day-to-day activities that we do to make ourselves successful. And it's how you respond to those and being able to have that flexibility and have that balance. But then more importantly, like the stewardship part of the side of, you know, I was able to last week take 3 or 4 days out of the office to go to a Rotary, you know, international mm-hmm. conference, you know, that, because that's a part of my life that's important to me, and having that balance and being able to drive kind of that stewardship aspect of it. Honestly, I really like the fact that we do have hands and feet as part of this organization. You know, that's a separate thing that you could probably do a whole nother podcast about if you haven't done already. But
no, we haven't. Hands and Feet's our community service charitable outreach program we started here in the firm almost a decade ago now. And yeah, maybe we will talk about that in a future podcast and how that's helped shape the culture here of getting people engaged in giving back in something bigger than themselves.
Yeah, yeah. And through the, you know, the work that I know the firm does with the Elizabeth Santos Foundation, and, you know, our packing, the meal packing event, at Fight Against Hunger, and those are the type of things that, you know, give you that mm-hmm. recharge of putting everything sort of back into perspective, especially someone with my past and my journey, of always having those small nuggets that help refocus on really what's important, has provided a great, it has allowed me to be myself in the culture and being able to be successful, and but more importantly feel supported along the way.
That's fantastic. Well, I appreciate your time today. I appreciate you sharing your personal story and journey. I know that's not necessarily an easy thing to do, and I think it does help give some perspective for people to understand, you know, who you are and what you're all about and what drives you, and more importantly, how I just want to say thank you for your contributions to creating a winning culture here in our organization, because they do mean a lot. So thank you, Marcus.
Tim, I appreciate the time today, and I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to kind of share my story.
Absolutely. I've enjoyed spending time with you on this episode today, and be sure to continue along this winning journey with me. Thank you for listening to the Winning Through Culture podcast, and remember, stay impactful and relevant. To connect with us, you can find us on Instagram and LinkedIn at Winning Through Culture, and find us online at winningthroughculture.com, or just go to the show notes where you'll find all the links. We look forward to connecting with you and hearing from you. Thanks for listening.